Thank you. I'm probably going to try to do most of this sitting at the computer. Neither Marcia nor I are professional presenters. I think the last time I did a major presentation was in grad school, about 1973. So I'm not accustomed to this. I'm not a public speaker. I think Marcia's a little hesitant here tonight as well. The two of us have just simply accumulated experience selling online. I started off with, I started off with the Recycler. How many of you remember the old Recycler? Right. And then just graduated into Craigslist. And I would just find things around the house, and then eventually, and this is just a hobby. You're driving down the street and you see something that somebody, a vacuum cleaner. And I like to tinker with things. So I would grab it, it's sitting on the street or in an alley, stick it in the trunk of the car, get it home, tinker with it, usually just a matter of emptying the bag or putting a new bag on it, and it worked fine. Turn around, either give it away, or then I might try selling it. Or I used to, anyway. Today, a few hours ago, a guy came, picked up a leaf blower that was left in the parkway by some people that we think were moving out or remodeling their homes or something. I had put an ad on Craigslist a couple weeks ago, $10. Basically, this is going to be teaching you how to do magic, how to turn, say, an old file cabinet into a dinner at Alejo's or Islands, or to take your car and sell it and turn it into a cruise, a ticket on a cruise. It's not going to make you rich, although I did have a tax client years ago who was doing eBay until her writing career took off. And she was doing about $70,000 in sales per year, and I think her net profit was about $50,000. And this is how she was living, how she was surviving. I don't expect that any of you are looking to do that. Neither Marcia nor I are experts in selling online. Marcia just got into eBay a few years ago. We have a different attitude towards learning how to do things. I like to jump in before I know what I'm doing. Marcia likes to make sure she's got it nailed down. So she's going to hold me to some accurate to point out if I start saying something wrong or if I, keep me on the straight and narrow here a little bit today. I'm going to stick to some notes I just made up this afternoon. If you have questions, we're open to questions as long as we don't get too bogged down in them. So we'll get started here. First of all, we're not going to be able in an hour and a half to teach you everything about selling on eBay, Amazon, Craigslist, Nextdoor, OfferUp, etc. There's no way you can do that in an hour. Learn how to do that in an hour and a half. Craigslist is probably the easiest way to start, but it's kind of like the Wild West of selling online. But there's certain general rules. By the way, you're at a meeting. This is a monthly general meeting of the Los Angeles Computer Society. It's a group of people that just help each other with their computers. If you have a problem, you can broadcast the question or problem you're having, and any number of people will respond, most likely, with the solution to the problem. I was going to start with who remembers putting up little index cards in supermarkets years ago on bulletin boards, right? With little tear-off phone numbers? Okay, well, that's... And then what about the Recycler? I already mentioned that. Where's EJ? EJ, the car you're driving was originally purchased by me via the Recycler. Yeah. I drove that car for 27 years, and it was in great condition, and I didn't have any hesitation about selling it to a friend. Generally, you don't sell a used car to a friend or family member, right? Right? Anyway, as I mentioned, the idea here is how to turn that old toaster oven that you've got sitting in a closet somewhere into a dinner, or that car, or say the old file cabinet into a movie and popcorn, you know, or old skis into a new mouse, keyboard, and or router. So I wanted to say it's difficult to keep track of all the different venues I mentioned: Amazon, eBay, Craigslist, Nextdoor, OfferUp, Etsy, Poshmark, and there's others. And they're all cropping, new ones are cropping up almost every day. Each one has a particular niche, advantages and disadvantages. Well, the first thing is that when you go to any of these sites, read the policies. Each one is different, and they're changing constantly. eBay, more and more over the years, as I've learned from Marcia, is trying to protect sellers. They want to make sure when somebody is selling something, they're describing it accurately, they send it when they're supposed to, and they're on the up and up, that sellers aren't being taken advantage of. And buyers, I'm sorry, you're right. Buyers, absolutely. And it does work the other way, but you're right. It is buyers. So read the policies. And the general rule for this is basically you get in there and you start doing them, and well, you'll learn as you go along. So first thing I would say on an ad is describe the item well. Disclose. Take lots of good photos. Try not to have your feet in the photo. Try not to be reflecting yourself in a mirror as you're taking it. Make sure the photo is focused. Take photos from all the different angles. Show the defects, especially with eBay. Marcia's taught me. They want you to describe that little tiny scratch on the back that you don't think is important, may be important to the buyer. And disclose it. Show pictures of it. Be honest about it. And in the long run, when you deliver items that are as you represent them to be, you'll get positive feedback when people receive them. And positive feedback enhances your reputation online with eBay, and encourages other buyers who are going to read the positive feedback about you and look at your record and be more likely to buy from you in the future. And remember that with eBay and some of these others where you're going to be shipping it, they can't come to your door to see the merchandise, try it on, you know, handle it, turn it over, plug it in, you know, and see if it works. So obviously you've got to be, you know, you've got to disclose and tell them about all the defects and problems. And going along with that, eBay and Amazon will actually force you, if the buyer is unhappy, they'll force you to return it or to pay for shipping it back to you, as well as you're getting negative feedback. Any questions so far? No? Okay. Yo. No. Some of this, my thought. The question was the things that I put on eBay, are these just things that I've collected around the neighborhood? I think I just gave you a false impression. Many of the items I've sold, some of them are that way, but you know, probably the minority. The majority of them, for example, have been things over the years that I've purchased that I've maybe upgraded or no longer use, don't need. You know, my parents, my father, and then my mother passed away in the last few years, and so I was the trustee responsible for selling all of that stuff. They had a lot of artwork. They had some furniture. They had all kinds of things, and I was selling them along with Marcia's help online. We spent 3 days at their condo taking photos and using, I mean, just that's all we were doing is taking quality photos and putting little post-it notes so we could keep track of each item. What was it? You know, like we'd have 1 or 1A, 1B. Those might be some little glass elephant or something like this, and we had hundreds of these. So we were doing that. Well, we were selling art, but my parents... Oh, he wants to know if I have any experience selling art. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I've got to learn to repeat the questions. Yeah, that's right. Also for the you're right, right. I'm not into art. I don't know art that well. Some of the items I sold for my parents or had sold, I actually used an auction house or a lady who came to their condo and picked out the items that she wanted to take. I already had them listed and had photographs of them, and she took them and within the next year and a half sold what she could and returned to me what she couldn't. Say that. I'm not. Okay. Marcia, you want to answer that? Is it on? There.
I thought I pressed it hard enough. Thanks. Yeah. No, but you're right. If you have a passion for something, that's the best thing to... If you have a passion for something, you know, that's the best thing to sell. Because if you're not having fun, you're not interested in researching the items, you know, you're going to lose interest. But I've sold quite a few pieces of the art, and I knew nothing about art, but I've found it really enjoyable. And the people that I've been meeting and learning about, and I've had to call EJ to find out about some paintings that I didn't know what the buyer was talking about. But so I've been selling art, and I've really enjoyed it. And you can definitely, it's a great niche because the items are big, and a lot of sellers don't want to sell big items.
Charlotte, William, yeah. I'm sorry.
And talk louder.
And talk louder, okay. Okay. What was your question again? I'm sorry.
Please show us something so that we can see what you're talking about on the screen.
Things that we've sold or going through the process.
Well, see, this wasn't going to be. We'll go to the website and maybe show you how to list some items, but it's going to be well.
Or if you want to see the items that have sold, you know, we can show you photos and the descriptions. Offhand, anything in particular, artwork? So Mark's going into Craig's. Oh. God, it's up there.
Yeah, right. These are some items I have. I have an account at Craigslist. It's easier to set up an account. If you're only going to sell the occasional item, you can just post individually. In fact, let's go back out here, hanging. So let me go back in.
Are there other things that you would like to see that come to mind? Oh, are there?
Okay, here's what you encounter. For example, if you don't have an account and you just click on, you go to Craigslist.com. Okay, this is what you're going to see. Okay, and I have an account, but let's pretend you don't. And you click on this, and it's going to ask you choose the location that fits best. Well, it'll be the west side for most of us. And then for sale by owner.
Oh, sorry.
For sale by owner. And then you pick your category. And just try to pick the best one that you can find.
It makes a big difference choosing the right category.
You have a stereo. So let's, you know, And then you're going to put your posting title, like Yamaha Receiver or Speakers or whatever. And now I'm going to go back a bit, and I'm going to show you some of the stuff that I've got on there actually right now in those categories.
Maybe you want to buy something.
Yeah. How many people here have used Craigslist?
No.
To sell. Okay, so there's a few of you who know how to do this. It's apparently you put it into these machines and it creates a fog. This is an ad I've got up for a couple speakers. And one of the funny things about this one was that I was trying to sell the speakers, and this guy saw I was trying to sell these speakers on the side here. Can you see them? Okay. And this guy noticed the receiver that I wasn't selling and decided that he wanted that. And so he made me an offer even without my advertising it. I've had that happen before. But
About the lamp. Somebody came.
Yeah, and let's go back to edit this posting. Let's just take a look at it. Okay, so here's how I listed it. It's in the category of electronics. Okay? I describe the item. I put the price on what I'm looking for. These have gone up in value, I hope. I've actually got them listed as well on eBay. West Los Angeles, my zip code, and I describe them. And I'm telling you a little bit of story. You know, do you want me to read the ad to you? No. Okay. So this is what I'm doing. And I ask that people phone me. Do people actually phone? Almost never. I will get texts. I like to have people contact me that way. On Craigslist, you have a choice basically between email, texting, and phone. If you list your phone, you can get it in there. As you go down, you get an opportunity. You will have an opportunity to continue. To add photos, you can change the photos. Let me figure out how to. I've got it here. Edit images. So I've got these images there. I can take them out. I can add new images. That's a really good question. The question was how to decide what price to ask for them. You can go and look on Craigslist itself and see what other people are selling the items for. Look at the photos, look at their descriptions, and determine if your item is better or less, or how anxious you are to sell it. If everybody's advertising things between $40 and $50, and you really want to sell it, put it in at $30. Another way to find out what things sell for used is to go to eBay.com. And this is even if you're going to sell the item on Craigslist. Go to eBay.com. Yeah, or anywhere. Actually, let's go to eBay.com. So,
it's definitely an art, not a science.
Right.
But it's. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you'll want to undercut other sellers. But sometimes you'll notice also that. Wow, I'm the only one in this area selling this item. Then you can take that into account as far as your price. If you're the only one in the area, everyone else is, you know, miles away. I would say that.
Yeah.
I don't like to go too high, though, because I don't like to undercut, but I don't like to go too high because... it just doesn't give a good taste in people's mouths. Like people are like you're trying to take advantage of people or something.
Yeah.
So to be fair and reasonable.
You can generally count on never selling an item, famous last words, for more than half of what you paid for it. That's at the most. Generally, you're going to get 20% of what you paid for something, 30%. Once in a blue moon, you'll have something that actually appreciates, as a general rule. But I just picked off the top of my head. What?
Go ahead. There is a question over here.
Oh.
Excuse me a sec, everybody. If you have any comments or questions, please do not address them to Mark, our speaker. Address them to the audience, to the last person in the back of the room. Address it to them, and maybe we can all hear it. Thank you.
Okay, I just ran.
I'll be walking around with the mic, so just let me know so that we can all hear each other. I know some of us are hard of hearing, so please keep that in mind. Raise your hand.
Isn't eBay an auction site versus Craigslist not a regular fixed price?
Yes and no. They also have buy it now. I have some of my current listings on eBay as buy it now. I set a price, and they have to pay. That's the price I want. Now, that doesn't mean that I can also check off a box and let people offer me less. I sold a pair of new pants, with tags, the whole bit, and I was asking $35. Somebody offered me $30. It was buy it now, and I compromised and said, how about $32? And they bought them, and they were shipped off to Washington State. So you can do it that way as well. Now, I just picked in something off the top of my head here, Panasonic fans. I've never sold a Panasonic fan. Well, maybe I did, but and that's a kind of a large category here. But over here on the left side, there are some filters. So you can say new, used, not specified. But what Marcia taught me was to go down to here and look at this down here. Under show only, you can put completed items and sold items. So I'm not sure what the difference is, but now we're going to see what's things sold. And if you see this price in green, that's what it actually sold for. You can go back and look at the original ad.
If it's black, it means it did not sell. The listing is over, but the item did not sell.
Right, but if it's green, it sold. And you can see what it actually sold for. So you can get a better feel. Like if everybody's asking for $120 for something, but you go into the filters and you find out that they're only selling for $20 or $30, then that gives you a better idea of what people are willing to pay. Yes, sir.
I'm curious with the $750 speakers that in your ad it said from the 1970s. Was that some type of collector's item that you were able to charge $750 for those?
They were a high-end speakers that are no longer available. There's almost a cult following for them. I've kept them in pristine condition, polishing them with walnut oil regularly, and I have the original cartons and boxes and materials from the manufacturer, who I actually met before I bought them, but I have the cartons of the whole bit that I've hung on to all these. So you aren't going to find any others of those in this country, I don't think. A couple of people said, oh, no, they've contacted me via eBay. They sent messages to me, and they said, how can you sell these? You shouldn't be selling them. You should be keeping them, you know.
Put them in a museum.
Yeah. So I raised the price up. But guess what? They haven't been selling, so I've started lowering the price. So, you never know. And then there was once, many, many, many years ago, I was selling an exercycle that I had, like many people, sitting in a corner of my office, and it was I was using it as a coat rack. Basically, I would throw clothing on it.
Like everyone else.
And I never used it, so I finally decided to sell it, and I don't remember what I priced it for, but, maybe $100 or whatever it is, and I would renew it week after week after week. Sometimes somebody would call, but they would never come by and buy it. This was on Craigslist years ago. And I lowered the price, and it still didn't sell. So one day I decided to raise the price, and it sold. How long did it take me? I mean, this is an extreme example, but maybe a year. I mean, I was just renewing. I would just hit repost or renew. They didn't have renew at the time on Craigslist. They just had repost or whatever, and I would just keep doing it. Maybe I'd miss a 2 or 3 weeks once in a while if I was out of town or on vacation. Didn't get around to it because I was busy, but eventually it sold.
You want to tell them about the rebounder? I doubled the price, and then you brought it up even higher.
Yeah,
okay.
Marcia just moved in with me. We've had two households full of things, including this rebounder that she didn't want anymore. Very high end, sells currently for about $425, $440 new. And she put it in, she cleaned it up, and we set it up, and we took photos and with her on it, and put the ad in at $60. And when she told me what they sold for new, I said, take the ad down.
People are already interested.
Yeah, people were interested right away. And so she recently put the ad back in at $120, which I thought was also too low. But this guy called up, and he was very interested, and I talked him into paying $150 for it, and he bought it on Saturday. So
he was ready to buy it at $60. We had spoken, and then when he saw it reposted, he contacted me right away and was fine with $120, and Mark got him up to $150. I know he could have sold it for $200.
What's the most common price?
Say that again?
What's the most common price on all these sites?
Oh, that's it, like I said, it's much more an art than a science.
OBO.
Right.
That's, yeah, I've never figured out how to list an OBO on Craigslist, because it gives you you can only put in a number.
You can put it in the title.
You could probably put it in the title in the description, but I've never sold
it
in the title part.
Or in the description,
okay.
But the title it'll show up.
So
as
Mark,
I say, she knows things that I don't, and I know things that she doesn't. We kind of complement each other really well.
So Mark, a quick question here. What would you suggest as the best type of camera? Economically, to use, what do you use? What would you suggest for taking the best pictures?
What's the best kind of camera for taking photos is a question.
I'd say the cell phone.
I would say a cell phone, only because, you know, I'm a member of the Los Angeles Computer Society, and I'm supposed to be technologically advanced and all that, and I have a new Canon camera and all that, but I find it's just easier to use my iPhone to take photos. And then, because I like working off of my computer, I would send the photos via email to the computer, and I put them in a file. Hang on here.
And you can do all of this on apps on your phone.
Yeah, I call this resized photos. Now, Marsh has recently taught me that on eBay, you want larger file sizes, because when people go over the object, it magnifies. And they're not going to be able to do that if the file size is like 85 kilobytes. So she's taught me that I need to hang on to the larger file sizes that I sometimes deleted to save space. But I generally, for Craigslist, you know, it varies maybe anywhere from 100 to maybe 300 kilobyte size. But it's whatever works for you. The smaller the file size, the faster the load.
If you use Nextdoor or OfferUp or some other platforms, selling platforms, you do need to stick with smaller sites. But eBay is the opposite. The minimum requirement is that on the longest side you have 500 pixels on the longest side. Otherwise, it probably won't even get posted, and they will take down ads that don't have a photo.
And that's just on eBay, right?
Right.
The others,
smaller.
Yeah.
So, I hear a pause, so I'll ask a question. The title of the presentation tonight is Buying and Selling on the Internet, and I came to hear about buying. Did anybody else?
If there are questions on buying, I've bought plenty.
we've bought plenty of things.
Are you going to talk about buying on the Internet?
Maybe if people have questions.
The orientation I was intending for was selling, but... buying is a lot easier.
Maybe based
on
questions.
Yes.
Maybe based on questions.
Okay. Let me just show you before I go back to Craigslist to show you how to buy, for example, on Craigslist.
You almost have to have had experience buying before you really know how to sell.
It does help.
It's all related. Because when you're buying, you're putting in keywords into the search, and so you can relate when you're turning around and selling something. You want to put in the title the keywords that you would enter as a buyer. So I know eBay says that you can't start selling until you've bought. You can, but it's much better to do some buying, become familiar with these different platforms before you turn around and try to sell.
Does anybody here buy books these days? Okay. How do you buy them now? Where do you buy your books? To buy books, you mean, or
because of Kindle?
Amazon has great deals on used books, and they'll have a whole list of how people have to describe the book, hopefully accurately as far as marks on it, how dog-eared, how used, you know, is the binding in good condition, and all this. And you can pick up books that would normally cost you $18, $19, $20 for $3 or $4.
But
right.
That's that. Amazon does have some physical locations now, even for books in L.A.
I said I used to buy books from Amazon.com, and the reason I might not is I got a cheap e-book, okay? The USPS was delivering it. U.S. Post Office at 5:45 on a Friday evening. I was home, but I was in my backyard, so if they rang the bell, I didn't hear it. They didn't leave it. I mean, it's just a $7 book. I had a very difficult time trying to say, how are you going to get me this book? They finally said they would bring it Tuesday. It came on Monday. They didn't ring the bell.
That's something
very, very annoying and time-wasting. Sorry? Yes.
Yeah, that's something with the Postal Service.
Yes, but yeah, that's who delivered, tried to deliver my book. Boo.
That maybe the seller had checked to deliver only if someone's home or something?
Or to require a signature? You can ask the seller.
Mark, people back here are not getting what's going on up front. This is too much up there. Nobody back here is hearing what's going on.
I'm sorry.
I should go stand back there.
Ron. Well, wait for the microphone.
My suggestion, if you want to buy something in the internet like this, you look at...
Hold it up to your...
Okay, you look at both sites. You look at Amazon and you look at eBay. You go in there and see what the prices are. And you'll find probably there are more than one item that are the same. And you could see an item that's in there for $25, and you can see the same item in there for $10. Of course, you want to buy the one that's $10. And you go back and forth, and you compare. You also want to look and see how much what the postage is, if it's postage free, or if you've got to pay postage. This is very important when you're buying that. And you also, if you're buying something from out of the country, it's possible you might have to pay an exchange fee on some of the items. That's something you have when you're buying items on these things, depending upon your credit card. Now, usually one of the best ways to be having that is to have a PayPal account. And with the PayPal account, you're able to just, when you finish with your transaction, you pay it through PayPal, it's all done, and they send it to you. And I think that's the easiest way to do it. But check them all and see what's the best value for you.
Also, you were talking about comparing the Amazon or eBay. You see the same. Well, even on eBay, you see some item advertised for $10, and you see somebody else selling it for $25. But then you compare the seller's ratings or history.
My husband enjoys buying things over many, many years. And I think what he enjoys is going to the house after work and seeing packages been sent to him, and he gets so excited, and we have so much stuff. We've been in the same house for 47 years now. The original, you've been there since I was in my 20s. And he loves to buy. He's not good at selling.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear this about. So let me explain something about
buying.
I bought just last week.
Can't hear
just
you.
Just last week, I needed to have Okay, I needed to have a device to clean the CPAP machine. And so I went into eBay, and there were four of them that were in there, which were identical, with four different prices. All were brand new. The range was from $37 up to $85 for the same item. Of course, I bought the one that was $37, and I'm using it. It works fine. It's brand new, and that's that. But that's my suggestion. It did happen to come from Hong Kong, but anyway, it's the same item.
Exactly. But remember to check the rating, the feedback on the seller, because, you know, if the seller's got a bunch of complaints, I bought something for my car about 2 years ago. Anyway, I won't go into all of the history, but the device had a problem. It was for a USB adapter for the car. I wanted an additional, more convenient place to charge my phone. And so I had it installed. It was nothing but trouble. I tried to get a refund. It was only like $10, maybe $8. And the woman, the seller, pretended that she didn't speak English very well and didn't understand and was giving me flack and telling me to send things to her that were irrelevant or that to send it back. I mean, it didn't make any sense. So I went to eBay. I complained. All of a sudden, she spoke English very, very well and understood what was going on. But she now has some bad feedback because I detailed all of this on the purchase. So other people are going to see exactly what she pulls. So you know, the feedback is really important. Well, I want to go back here.
I have a couple of quick questions.
Sure.
How do you know what the shipping cost is going to be?
The what?
The shipping cost. If I'm selling a book or a widget or whatever, how do I know what to charge the buyer? Is there any way of guessing? The second question is, as a woman living alone, I wouldn't be comfortable having someone come to my house. How do you deal with that?
Well, again, I feel the same way as far as having someone come into my house. It's only now that I'm living with Mark, I feel okay to list things on Craigslist or Nextdoor or OfferUp where people do come. But when I was living by myself, I felt the same way. But even then, you can arrange to meet the person, you know, either in a parking lot where there are, you know, video cameras, or you can just meet them.
Small, but if it's a larger item,
where they have
television.
Right, I know. Well, then my thought was then, if they're going to have to come into your home because it's a large item, heavy, then if you can have someone there with you. Don't be there by yourself, but have someone there with you when the person is going to come. And, of course, you want to have some conversations with the person to, you know, to get an idea whether, they're interested. This isn't some type of scam or fraud.
We'll get into scams in a minute. But another thing, many people are urged to meet at a supermarket. Go to Vaughn's. Go to Ralph's.
Right. Exactly. But like I said, sometimes the only thing is for them to be able to come in and see it. But again, I would have a few conversations with the person to, you know, to get a feeling for whether this is just some scam. And I would also have a neighbor or somebody be with me when they come over. I don't want to be by myself. The shipping, as far as eBay, it's a little complicated. It's easy, but at first it's complicated. With the shipping on eBay, first of all, you can choose to include in the price, pad your price, and you pay for it, or you can charge the buyer. I charge the buyer. And so what I do is when I'm listing on the eBay listing page, I first figure out what box or what envelope I'm going to package the item in. I take the dimensions, I weigh it, I put that in. And when you do that, once you put those dimensions in and the weight for the item, then on the website, the listing page, then you can click a box saying calculate. Oh, that's a good idea, saying to calculate. And it really isn't at first. I like doing stuff like
that. A lot of this is a learning curve. Once you've done it a few times, it gets very easy, and it gets easier and easier and easier, and you accumulate boxes in the garage collapsed, not or in the house somewhere, that you can use for various items. You're going to be purchasing, if you're going to use eBay and Amazon for selling, you're going to have bubble wrap around. You're going to, it's part of the process. Huh? Okay. Well,
I didn't have a garage.
She didn't have a garage either. She
or
was using
storage.
she was using part of a studio apartment, and she had these items and she was ordering them. And again, it's a learning curve and learning how to organize it. She's taught me, for example, on these items here that we would take, I had a London Fog overcoat in pristine condition, because how often do I need a heavy raincoat with a pile lining in Los Angeles? Louder. Okay. Let me finish that, and then I'll take that. So I put in this ad. Marcia taught me to find the envelope that would fit best for FedEx. And
well,
I think it was
not necessarily FedEx.
Right. I described the item. Here's the listing for on eBay. And when you check off a particular category of an item you're selling, like clothing, it's going to ask you, it's going to present you with a wizard formatted for clothing. It's going to ask you for types of fabric, color, condition, lining, all of these different things. And then you get down to, let me see the shipping, sales tax, shipping details. And I'm still learning how to do this. Marcia's kind of my shipping department expert here. By the way, on Amazon and eBay, you want to try to ship the item within 24 hours of its being purchased. You want good ratings. The person's waiting for it. Get it to them right away. Don't make them wait a week if you can help it.
Well, if you have your policy that you ship within one business day or two business days, you need to comply with your own policy. Otherwise, you're going to get dinged. So if you don't think you can get things out within two business days, then you just need to change your own policy so you're not in violation of your own policy.
So what Marcia's will do, she'll take the package or envelope, she'll measure the dimensions, 14 inches by 4 inches by 12 inches. That's the envelope.
With padding with
the,
there.
With the padding, with the item in it, the whole bit, she'll weigh it. And it came out to, this one came out to 4 to 5 pounds. And then, go up.
Oh. I can't see. To calculate shipping?
Where does it say calculate?
There. I think
calculated.
Calculate shipping.
Right.
Oh.
Okay.
No. Oh. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And the eBay website here will calculate the best and give you the options of different costs for different FedEx versus United Postal Service. I find that shipping gets a little bit complicated to learn. I mean, it's a learning curve for me. By the way, remember, with eBay and Amazon, you can always go to help and eventually in contact and talk to a live person who can talk you through it.
And how do you do that on eBay? Call where? What phone number? Do you remember?
Well, I remember you go somewhere and you have them call you.
Exactly.
They will call you. You put in a phone number within a few seconds, a minute or less, maybe 30 seconds, someone calls you. And they're very nice, and they'll help you with whatever problem you're having.
But can you show people where they go? Because there are little things that are simple, but, you don't have to look it up.
Oh, okay. Well,
May I ask my question now?
I'm sorry. Oh. Yes, yes. So
my question is that I know that there are a lot of different categories, and during certain times, items sell better, like during the spring or winter or whatever. Is there like a general listing of when is the best time to sell what? Like, when is the best time to sell artwork? When's the best time to sell electronics or clothes or, you know?
You can Google most anything, but of course it depends on what it is that you're selling, what clothes you're selling. And you could think, well, art's trying to sell a London fog and it's 100 degrees here. But there, if you sell internationally, or people are going on trips. Maybe they're going on a trip next week, and they're going someplace where it's cold.
So is it better to sell on odd times? Like, would you sell that now during the summer than during the winter?
I like to sell things when there's a demand. You know, it's all about supply and demand. So right now, I mean, when people are looking for what air conditioners or something or a heavy coat, you know, when it gets cold, they want everybody sure. needs a heavy coat for gifts or for themselves. Okay. And so to me, that's the time to get that stuff in there. Or if it's hot in the summertime and you have an air conditioner, you know, if it didn't sell during the winter, wait and relist it or list it when we're getting heat waves, you know, when it's hot.
Yeah.
Or if a holiday's coming up.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Mother's Day, there's certain items. Oh, Mother's Day's coming up. Father's Day is coming up. Easter. You know, there's just certain things you'll realize, wow, this would be great. I'll post this right before
right.
there's demand for bunnies or something.
But then you have a million people doing that, and then you have all that competition, you know, and yours might not be chosen.
I used to think that way, but...
is that not
again,
true?
Again, this is an art. I find it fun, but I don't worry now about competition. I can't explain it in one word, but, I mean, you'll see. I mean... You're going to, when you go to list something, whether it's on Craigslist or Amazon, eBay, Poshmark, whatever, you want to see what's selling right now as far as this item that I have. And you look through and you try to find something similar, and maybe there's nothing similar, but you sort of go off of that as far as, you know, if everybody's trying to sell the same item and it's what they call a commodity, you know, they're all the same. That's another story. But if you're selling something that's different, you know, it's a dress, a clothing item.
We're getting lost back here.
Oops.
People back here are getting lost. Okay.
So I'd like to share my experience with eBay. I'm a novice, and what I do is I sell things that I've found or, like he said, but when I go to events, such as Dodger games, and they hand me a bobblehead, or when I go to Circus du Soleil and I buy a tote bag, colorful, for $5, I immediately take a picture on my cell phone, post it. If I have any questions, I call eBay. They walk me through it step by step, even if I have to repeat it. Another thing is, if you don't have a cell phone, you can't take a picture. The agent will help you. Let's say you have a Trivial Pursuit game, new in a package. They will scan their pictures. They will find a replica to post it, and they'll say, is this what you like? Is this what you have? You say yes. And it's really quite fun. And again, I find things. I went to Miss Saigon. That's closing. I found a T-shirt, very colorful. In the Northwest, Southwest, they go gaga over it. So I find it quite pleasant. He has good ideas. It's a hobby, and it's a learning curve.
That's great. When it's new, you can do that, but something's used. You have to use the actual item. But if it's new, you're right. You don't have to take photos.
And Marcia was also telling me that...
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Is there a fee to become a member or to sell on eBay? Do they, or on Craigslist?
There's not a fee to become a member, but there are commissions and fees charged on the items.
Only if they're sold.
Yeah, once they've sold. You know, if the item doesn't sell, you don't pay anything, as long as you haven't checked off like a reserve price or something like that I'm not going to go into. But yeah, I think the recent items I sold on eBay, I got about a 10% charge from eBay as a commission or fee, and then PayPal also charged me 2.9% or 3% or something like that. So, you know, you're going to lose a little bit there. But
Mark, I've been selling on eBay now for 20 years. When I sell something, I give the buyer a choice to offer. If my price is a little too high for that buyer, I will give them a chance to offer something a little less than what I want. But I'll only go so far. And if I'm happy with what they offer, I'll sell. So there's that choice. You don't have to stick with the price that you've set.
Right. I was going to just
show
her something.
You have an option to allow the buyer to give you a choice.
I do the same thing. Also, you can give them a choice, and it's recommended, about shipping. I always pick out the least expensive, okay. But I give the buyers an option. Do they want it priority?
Shipping.
Have a look up here now. You'll see that I have a buy it now price for this item at $79.95. But I've also checked off let buyers make offers. And it says being flexible with your price may help your item sell faster. And then I said automatically decline offers lower than $60. So you have a lot of control. A lot of that's been automated now. That they put it into the system because so many people wanted to be able to do that.
Also, when I list something, I will let the buyer know how I'm going to ship it. Whether it's just
she can't. They can't hear you.
What's the matter with this thing?
Is it on?
Oh, sorry. Hear me better?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
I will tell the buyer when I make the listing how I'm going to ship something. Whether it's in a stuffed envelope, you know, the fat one with the plastic inside, or it's a package, or U.S. first class mail, or priority mail, or FedEx, or UPS, this is how I let the buyer know how I'm going to ship something. I also have it tell them how heavy it is, whether it's 2 ounces, 1 ounce, or 10 pounds, whatever. The eBay will figure out, I'm selling on eBay now, they figure out how much the price of the shipping is. Sometimes they charge too much. I will reimburse my buyer the difference between what I paid to ship something to that buyer and what that buyer paid. And because I do that, I get buys. I'm fair.
I've reimbursed buyers because there was too much of a difference.
I wanted to show you something here. When you start off with eBay, you will almost certainly need to set up a PayPal account, which is easy to do. PayPal is easy. You'll probably be hooked up via a credit card, maybe have it all linked to your bank if you want to transfer the funds from to your bank once it lands in PayPal. I used to do that. I now just leave it in the PayPal account. But this is how buyers can most conveniently pay for things. It's just very convenient. About 3%. Right, to the seller. To the seller. So, and they do charge, eBay will add tax if it's a California purchaser.
But you need to designate.
Right.
When you're listing, you need to designate, as Mark has there, sales tax. He's entered California, and it's 9.5%.
Right.
It's up to the seller to enter that information.
And here, I want you to see something. I'm not sure if this is the right part of it here, but on some of these items, I've had local pickup. I sold an Eames chair a couple months ago, and I wasn't about to figure out how to package up a huge Eames lounge chair and deal with it and ship it and then, you know, have a problem with, let's say, the buyer didn't like it and, you know, and complained or whatever, and then I would have to pay to have it shipped back, and who knows what condition it would be in. So I just went on eBay and I said local pickup only, so that the person would have to pay, you know, via PayPal, but then when they come over to my house and they look at the item, you know, if they're not happy with it, right there and then before they walk away with it, you know, we can reverse the sale. You know, that sort of thing. Because I want people to be happy and I don't want the headaches. So you have that option
as
well.
There's a question right here.
Yes, sorry.
Hi. How do you decide which platform you're going to use, given there are so many? OfferUp, Letgo, Nextdoor, eBay, Craigslist.
You get a feel for it.
Great question. If it's a larger item, you might want to try it on Craigslist, although you could do this eBay thing, although eBay is going to charge you fees or commissions, and then there's the PayPal fees and all that. But you're going to be now selling to the entire world. So if I'd sold that Eames chair, and I was willing to sell it and ship it across the country, based on previous sales that you saw, completed sales there, it probably would have gone for about $2,500. But because I limited it to local pickup, I had only two buyers bidding against each other. And I ended up selling it for just over $1,500. But I was willing to take the loss. And in fact, I think the guy who bought it from me, although he was doing his darndest to avoid disclosing this to me, I think he was a dealer. You know, I could tell by the questions he was asking and the way he was looking at the chair. And he was virtually taking that chair apart in front of me. You know, he knew how it went together and how it came apart. And he mentioned that his mother had one before, but she no longer has it. And I'm thinking, you know, it just, he was a dealer. So let him sell it again, resell it, and that's fine. And he'll make another $1,000 or whatever he's going to make on it, if he wants, you know, that's what he wants to do. Somebody else would ask a question that was, oh, Craigslist, no fees, eBay fees. Craigslist, local pickup, easy sale. You know, it's well, not always easy, but
once it's done, it's done.
Yeah, when it's done, it's done. They've picked
no
up.
Returns.
They've given you cash. By the way, that's really important. Craigslist, Nextdoor,
OfferUp,
always cash.
And make sure it's not counterfeit.
Right. No exceptions.
Venmo or?
Well, we have accepted recently some Venmo. That's been new. The checks can bounce. You know.
Anyone under 50 doesn't use checks.
Yeah. I mean, theoretically, I could go to my computer and accept, because I have a PayPal account, have them pay me through PayPal. That would be pretty safe.
Although things
can still happen with PayPal, there can be a complaint and they can, you know, and PayPal would reverse the expense and charge, you know, the payment. And now you don't have the payment or the item. So, you know, absolutely, I would say no exceptions, cash. I guess now we would have Venmo is coming in as a common form of payment. I wanted to also mention here, let's see, what are they? I'm trying to buy it now.
Charlotte? Oh, there you are.
Marcia has a store, by the way. So she upgraded to having a store, which makes it easier to list items versus the individual sales that I do right now.
Can you show us that store? Is it on? Is it?
No, because I haven't really. I can, but I haven't done anything with it. I just purposely, since they started something maybe within the last year called a starter store. It's only, I think, about $4.95 a month. If you pay for the year, it's something like $4.95 a month. So for that price, you don't get a lot, but you get some perks that are worth it. But I haven't had a chance to fix up my store and do anything nice with it yet. It is.
Yeah. It's for eBay, or what is it for?
eBay.
By the way, another admonition here, or admonishment. Never, ever. I mean, you're going to get people that are going to, especially on Craigslist locally, that are going to ask you, you know, special favors and all this, and I would just say, you know, stick to your guns. But once in a while, somebody will call me up and they say, you know, will you deliver? Never, ever, ever,
wow,
even agreed to. I would say never. I don't care what the sob story is. They just broke both legs. They're in a wheelchair. Have them, you know, arrange for a friend to pick it up for you or something and take a look at it. Because you're not going to, I mean, yes, you want to make the sale. You want that $15 or that $120 or whatever it might be, but it's not worth it. You're going to go there. Now they've got you over a barrel. You've taken the time to drive there. You found the way to their apartment or their home. They look at the item. You've agreed. They've agreed to pay you $100. What are you going to do now when they say $50? They figure they've proved that you're anxious to sell it, so they're, you know, you're probably going to be more willing to drop your price. I'd say no. I say don't deliver it. And some other scams.
There's a question.
Go ahead.
Are there any fees on Craigslist and our taxes? There are no fees on Craigslist.
No.
Do you know how they make money?
Huh?
How do they stay in business?
Advertising, I guess.
They have some money. Oh, they do have some money-making ventures.
Okay.
I think they charge. I'm not that familiar with Craigslist, but they do charge employers, I believe, for listing jobs. They do make money in some ventures that they have.
Yeah, there are, I advertise in Craigslist for music lessons, and I am charged $5 for every ad. So, and I know there's other things on Craigslist that are charged. But did you have another question? I had a question.
There's no taxes either on Craigslist.
The person's coming to your door. You're handing them the item. They're handing you the cash. Sometimes you'll have a conversation. Most of the people I found to be really nice, and they're on their way.
Probably, you know, should be taxed.
Huh?
Probably should.
I guess
be
theoretically, you know, when you do your taxes, your 540 California tax form, you're supposed to declare use tax for under a certain amount, but you know that's up to you.
I just had another question there. I've only advertised on Craigslist, but Nextdoor, my impression just by the name is that it's extremely local. Is that indeed the case? Or
it is, but they've added something where you can click a box and it will be, it says expanded territory. And I had to give my cat away because I was moving, and the person called me the perfect person to adopt my cat. And they are out in Toluca Lake, and I was in Beverly Hills. I was surprised that she saw it. You know, I thought it was very limited too, but if you click expanded territory, they get seen.
So it can be an expanded area.
And once again, do they charge on Nextdoor for it? That's just
But no. here's the catch with Nextdoor. Once you're signed up with Nextdoor, I don't believe in, or I don't use Facebook or LinkedIn or any of the social media. But Nextdoor is like a mini social media. So you're going to get postings. You know, I mean, I just delete them. But you know, there's a helicopter circling around over my house. Does anybody know what's going on? Or the coyotes ate my cat. You know, and all of that. To be part of the Nextdoor thing, you're going to have to deal with that.
That's okay. That's necessarily a part of that
Nextdoor
thing.
Yeah, you don't have to look at them.
You don't have to look at them. You can delete them.
I don't. I. Right.
Yeah, but don't forget Don't forget that the Nextdoor thing is not necessarily set up as Craigslist. It's really set up as kind of a safety feature in the neighborhood. So when your cat is lost, you post it on Craigslist. On Nextdoor. And what's going on with this helicopter? Is there
sense for
concern?
My car was broken. You see people listening all the time. My car was broken into. It was parked in my driveway. My laptop was sitting in the front seat, and somebody broke in and took it. You see that one all the time.
People don't have to read those.
Huh?
People don't have to read that.
You don't have to read them, but I'm just saying you're getting, this is the sort of thing. People are sharing in the neighborhood, you know, what's happening to them in the way of crime. Or does anybody know a good hardware store to go to? Or a good place to get guitar lessons in the neighborhood? Yes. Which one? What? Oh, yeah. Okay, Ron, you've been waiting a long time.
Mine's going to be very brief. This is very brief. Do you take things outside of your house so people don't go traipsing into your house when you're going to be delivering it to them?
Hold it up. We can't hear your question.
Do you take things outside of your house to deliver it to them so they aren't going to go traipsing through your house?
I've taken things onto the front porch on occasion, you know, to exchange the item there. Today I had a guy come over to buy the that leaf blower I was telling you about, and I wanted to show him that it worked. So I got an extension cord, plugged it into the front of my house, turned on the power for that particular outlet, and he tried it. He was very happy. But, you know, I don't have people really traipsing through the house. I don't lead them, you know, into the kitchen or the bedrooms or the offices or whatever. They might just come 2 or 3 feet through the front door into the living room. Wait 1 second. You were telling me.
We have to stop.
Oh my God. Wait, I want to cover. I want to cover the.
Can I get my question in before we end?
Okay.
Just a note for people. The LAPD has said that if you want to do like a Craigslist sale or anything else, you want to meet people, they're more than willing to have people come over to one of their stations to do it there. So if you're worried about safety, LAPD will be more than happy to do it.
Also, the same thing.
On not accepting checks, I did that when I sold a car for $8,500. Cash was not an option. What we did is fill out the paperwork. They just didn't get it till the check cleared. So there's ways to do those things.
And Monique's right about with Nextdoor. I would feel comfortable having people come over to my place. With Craigslist, I wouldn't.
I want to cover scams real quick.
But we're running out.
Okay, beware of scammers. People will respond to your ad on Craigslist. They'll offer to pay with a money order and offer to pay you an extra $40 or $50, okay, for your trouble. Obviously, this is you know, very suspicious, right? Don't go there. It's a scam. Another one I've been getting is, and that Marcia got recently on Craigslist, was people will reply to the phone number. They'll text you, quote, a Google code of some sort, and they'll tell you that they want you to send them the code. I don't know what's going on with that, but it doesn't sound kosher, so I would never do it. I usually put in my own code. I call it LAPD. That they don't respond to that code, or they give me question marks. I was going to show you, but it'll be faster to just tell you this one. When you're dealing with eBay, eBay wants you, for good reason, to do everything within eBay. So if you're sending messages to a potential buyer that's asked you questions or wants to send you a message and is asking about the item or something of that sort, keep it within eBay. Don't go off of eBay to some other email address that you have or anything else. This guy recently responded, I'm selling a gas Weber barbecue, a grill. And he basically, in his message, he spelled out his phone number and wanted me to text him or call him at that phone number. You don't want to do that for any number of reasons. And yeah, sure, you can take it offline, you don't have to pay a commission, and there's all this other stuff. But if eBay finds out, and they can and will,
easily,
you're going to be shut down, and you may have to pay penalties. That'll be the end of your eBay selling. So it'd be so easy for them to figure out, to monitor all these messages that are going back and forth, and you can recognize a phone number when certain, you know, numbers 3426853, you know, they know. when you're spelling it out that you're putting in probably a phone number.
Well, eBay does monitor all the messages. It says it.
Yeah, they do monitor all the messages. So, they tell you that. And each one of these sites has a link to read up on buying and selling scams. So read them. Let's see here. Marsha recently had, she ordered an item on eBay. This is buying. But found herself waiting a long time, several days or a week, for the item. She learned that the seller was ordering it from the wholesaler after receiving the retail order from her. It was coming from China, and of course with this tariffs thing, things have kind of been messed up. The seller was unable to obtain the item, and as a result, the seller received poor feedback and is probably out of business.
No, eBay cut them off.
eBay cut them off for doing this.
You've got to have the item.
We can't hear you. Where's the microphone?
What I was suggesting is, can you, from your experience, suggest any books on how to protect ourselves from scams when you're doing Nextdoor or eBay?
Say you
know
that
any
again?
Books that we can purchase on how to protect ourselves against scams?
Sure I don't know about Google. Any books, but there's probably, quote, a million.
Or place to go.
There's a million tutorials online on YouTube about how to sell online or sell how to sell on Amazon, how to sell on eBay.
That's good enough.
There's probably lots there.
If you
and
Google
eBay will help you as well. eBay has tutorials, and you can call somebody up when you get to a point. But one other thing I was going to mention on eBay, Marcia's taught me, as I say, she figures out the shipping by putting the item in the box or in the envelope and weighing it and having all that information. Having it ready to go when somebody buys saves you a lot of stress and time. So if you've got it already packaged up, ready to go as soon as somebody buys, you can shoot it into FedEx or wherever you're shipping it through within hours, okay, which is another thing. Don't wait to start getting the box together and figuring out how you're going to ship it, you know, until after the person has purchased it. Do it ahead of time.
If you Google the specific question that you have, I'm sure you know you'll find a lot of information about scams.
Yeah, she pointed it out. I'm told we have to wrap things up. How about one more question?
Well, I would just say, based on my experience, you were talking about China and like a scam. If there's lots of grammatical errors of most basic kind, you can rest assured it's a scam. So.
Uh-huh. That's a good idea. That's good. That's
true
good
with spam emails, too. The spelling and grammar are very bad.
The Federal Trade Commission has a website where you can complain about scammers and telephone scammers, email scammers, all kinds of scammers, plus a lot of information on particular things. That, for those of you who are new, there's a section on that, what is usually a table, but it doesn't seem to be a table at the moment. But anyway, free stuff on the back, some calendars for 2020, et cetera. And, okay. Mark, did you want to say something?